by for Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors with your host, Drew Kirby.
Hey, this is Luke Holmes.
I am Morgan Wallen.
I'm Riley Green.
I'm Travis Denning.
Hey, I'm Aaron Lewis.
Hey, it's Luke Bryan.
I'm Tim McGraw.
What's up? This is Ian Munsick.
Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors.
It's Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors. This week, it's Cedar Ridge Outfitters. That's where we're hanging for the weekend, and it's been kind of an interesting time this year, my third year of killing an elk with Tony and Commission. And Tony, I know it's been a pretty big season for you guys already. You're really just getting underway, and it's been pretty successful.
We are. Kind of was a shocker how good of a season it's going to turn out to be. We've got some really good deer already. We've got a couple bulls down. We got to start our season early September 1st. Game and Fish opened up one of our areas for early cows for rifle during the archery season. So that was kind of entertaining. It was very successful. Filled all of our hunters out over there. Moved over here. Before we moved over here, though, we went to Area 41 and helped with a veteran, got him a really good bull, and then moved back over to our main lodge, Camp 1. So when it has started off well. We've gotten three cows now and two bulls in under 5 days, so it's really turned out good.
So we're going to talk about this a little bit later on, too. Area 48 is one of the areas that was really hit hard with the Red Canyon fire this past August or September. So it really was pretty fresh, but we'll get into that more in just a few minutes. But every time I've come out to hunt with you guys, it's really been a full-on experience, but it's been a different experience. And this time was more of an experience than I'd ever had. We never really had to hike in to do any hunting, but I mean, gosh, it was quite exhilarating, really.
Yeah, it is. It's going to be a different season. It'll be a fun season. It's, you know, we've got a lot of elk that have moved in here on us already, a lot. Big groups have moved in. We've got one group that's probably 300 to 400. We got another group that's probably pushing the 700 to 800. Several groups that are in the 30-40. One group probably in the 100. They've really moved in here. And again, we'll touch base on that, but Mother Nature really pulled a whammy on us, and you know, we thought, oh man, here goes our season. And you know, Mother Nature came back and produced a lot of green grass, but we got no cover, so we've got to really sneak around and use the burned up trees and the rocks that we didn't know we had till now, and to get in there and get the animals. They can see us coming for miles, but we've been very successful in getting it done.
You know, another thing that's different, Tony, this year for me is it's earlier in the season. So normally I'd done 1st of November or 1st of December, and this, the end of October, there's still bulls that were on the docket, and Commission knocked out your bull today. It's one of those interesting things because you have it in your mind what you want. I mean, you see all the elk up there, and you kind of pinpoint one that you really want to get. And then sometimes it doesn't happen like that. But the one you got today was really, some would say, a really good elk.
Yeah, I'm super happy with it. Like you said, it's not the bull that I was wanting. I wanted a different bull that was non-typical, just to have something a little bit different. But I'm still super happy with the guy that I got today.
So one of the things that's developed over the last 3 years is you have gone from just helping out around here to really taking on a guide role and helping out with, you know, leading everybody out. We had a husband-wife duo with us this weekend that were out hunting, and, you know, it's kind of an interesting turn for you this year.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. I love cooking and helping out and stuff, but this is where I really want to be. I was having my own women's camps before, so I can do the job.
We've talked multiple times, not just about Cedar Ridge Outfitting, but some of the other first hunts that you have gone on and some of the other opportunities that has arrived for you over the last couple of years. So really things are developing, you know, the way that you want them to go.
Yeah, absolutely. And it helps just taking your time and getting to know the area and just learning how they're going to cycle around and where you need to be set up and where you saw how we went around and Baja'd over the mountainside and blew out some struts, but we got it done.
You know, and that's the fun part about it. I mean, yeah, we did do hiking to get in there, but this is such a big area. I mean, you have to have a vehicle to get around it. And we were on the hot pursuit for a group of elk, and we went airborne. We Dukes of Hazzard to that sucker, didn't we?
We did. Yep. We did. It was a good time.
But, I mean, obviously that's got to happen if you want to get the job done. We've only got a couple of days to really get our hunt. And Tony, I know that when we were out, you know, having shenanigans in the truck, you were had already hiked up and were going across part of the higher elevations to not really push the elk, but to kind of keep them in the right direction.
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, it takes teamwork to keep it all running. And I had a hunter and I hunted his wife in September. She got two cows. He had booked with us before. We got a lot of options, a lot of different areas. We've got a total of five different elk areas that we can hunt in. We're getting bigger, we're getting more camps. So, you know, our success rate's going to go up even better as we get bigger and we start getting more guides and more cooks and more help, and it's going to get crazy. But you know, we're here to do it. It's the long term deal.
And one of the great things about you guys is you don't just offer elk. I mean, there are other options when they come up to hunt if they get a deer or maybe they get antelope or turkey.
Yeah, you know, we've got our mule deer areas, our whitetail areas, moose areas now, bull elk, cow elk, upland bird, turkeys. We also have a great friend who's a guide. You know him very well. We can do the walleye guided stuff with him. We've got some connections getting on the rivers and doing the fly fishing. So it's a lot of options a hunter can do and make combo kits on their hunts and do them however they want to set them up.
You know, obviously Cedar Ridge Outfitting, CedarRidgeHunting.com is where you can go to really learn more about what the options are available. And let's talk a little bit about what we went through over the last couple of days. We talked about you and Terry, and we were up there for the first half of that, you know, on the higher elevation and trying to get to the elk to get it done on day one. But I mean, there's a pretty big push on these large herds that you have to really focus on, you know, pick the one that you want and get the job done. But if you can't, you just got to keep pushing on.
Yeah, and it's, you know, it's probably the hardest obstacle we have is trying to get that hunter to really focus on which one they want before they get behind the scope. Like you get them behind the scope and all they see are bulls and cows, and you know, they're way out there, and just, you know, we got to try and get them focused on just one animal, because when they're grouped up like that, you do not want to be shooting into the group, especially with these guns today. That bullet blows in, blows out, and the next thing you know, you got two or three of them that are down. And you know, it's hard because they get excited. They're not used to seeing as many animals as they're going to see. You know, this isn't just going through the woods and see one or two cows at a time. We're going to see 30 to 500 head at a time.
Well, one of the amazing things to me is we were driving in the first morning and we saw elk in an area that we always see them. Then we kind of drove around and we saw more elk as they were moving along, but they weren't where we could get them. But then you're like, okay, well, I think they're going to be up here. And then that's kind of what the move was. And that's how it happened both days, is you kind of have the feeling of where they were going to be.
You know, and that's the key to running the business like we do, is making sure you can show your customers animals, making sure you can get them in there for a shot. You know, I've heard over the years as a guide, now as the outfitter, hunters coming in and they just, you know, their biggest complaint is they book a hunt, they go there, they see one animal, or they don't see any animals for 3 or 4 or 5 days. It's all about showing them the animals and giving them an opportunity if you can. Now, there are some areas you can't, just it's been wiped out, either due to wolves or grizzly bears, or, you know, these elk are starting to run different cycles now. They're more of a prairie animal now again. They're not as much up in the high altitudes as they used to be.
And one of the things that I kind of like about this situation is our situation today when we got the job done, it was just us three out and about for the day, but we still went right in. You got us on the elk, and then that's when the fun kind of starts. You've always said, listen, I can put you on the elk, but I can't pull the trigger. You're going to have to be the one that looks through that scope. Yep. and get the job done. And today was a prime example of you put us in a good position, and we both got it done. I mean, just a couple of shots.
Yeah, we shot two. We shot a bull and a cow out of the same group, you know. And I can't say enough for Precision Hunting Outdoors. They build our Husqvarna scopes. They build our long-range guns. They build these guns to do what we need them to do. And without them, you know, are the normal guns going to do it? Yeah, they will. But knowing that I can put a client behind our guns and get him on that animal is 100% success right there.
Now, I've had a chance to shoot both of your guns, and over the 3 years, I've had that opportunity there. And every time, it's just been, if I missed it, it's my fault. I mean, everything is zeroed in and set to go. And, Commissioner, I know that there are a lot of people that are like, well, I won't go elk hunting with the 6.5 Creedmoor. Well, you're shooting a 6.5, right?
Yeah, a 6.5 PRC, the El Topo. And I love it. It's one of my most favorite guns. Like, I started out shooting a 243, moved up to a 270. I mean, I've shot, like, just for fun, a Lapua, just for shooting targets and stuff. And it's just really nice to have a gun that's so honed in. And it's my number one gun. I absolutely love it.
And again, that makes a big difference. You know, you have good optics and you have a good quality, trustworthy firearm. I mean, that goes a long way. You could go and just get one off the shelf or off the rack and hope that it works for you. But when you have something custom like that, it really is a game changer.
It's a big game changer. You know, and not saying anything bad about the factory guns or the factory scopes that are out there on the market. There are some good ones, but you get out here, you get anywhere, you start playing with mirage, you start playing with wind, you start playing with upward degree, downward degree. I mean, there's a lot of different things that I've learned over the years doing the long range shooting like I have. I'll let Kamisha talk about the bull that I killed this year, 3 days ago. I pulled a shot that a lot of people can't pull.
Yeah. There are many, very few Navy SEAL snipers that have shot that far.
Yeah, and the irony of the whole entire situation is where he shot is where I actually shot my bull going over a saddle today. Yeah, he had a heck of a shot, 1,001 yards, and we had been fighting the wind for the past couple of days. I had taken a shot at a bull and totally missed because the wind was just howling down off of the face of the mountain. But we finally got set up in the right situation, and we made a successful harvest.
Here at Cedar Ridge Outfitters, we're up in Area 48, and go to cedarridgehunting.com. If maybe next year you want to get in on some of this great hunting, and you know, it's not a guarantee every time, but the likelihood is pretty high.
It's definitely high. We've been 100% every year except for 1 year. We were 99%, but we were trying to get an 83-year-old man an elk, and he just physically could not do it. He got shots, but he just physically couldn't do it, you know. So the option to get an elk is there. Our 2026 season's full of bull elk hunters already. We're full of deer. We're full of antelope, but we still have room for that over-the-counter cow tag.
All right, make sure to check it out. We're going to be back in just a few minutes because we talked about the fact that the fires, the Cedar, Red Canyon fire over the summer made a real impact on the hunting grounds here. We're going to check in on that in just a few minutes.
Hunting season is in full swing, and now is the time to get stocked up at Rocky Mountain Discount Sports. With Casper's largest selection of guns and ammo, it's easy to be prepared. Don't forget the game bags, backpacks, culls, and camouflage. Rocky Mountain Discount Sports carries products from all the top manufacturers, such as Vortex, Leopold, Badlands, Hornady, Primos, and more. Rocky Mountain Discount Sports, CY Avenue in Casper. Thanks for shopping Wyoming first at your Wyoming-owned and operated Rocky Mountain Discount Sports.
When looking for places to live in Wyoming, you'd be hard-pressed to find another ranch that offers as much as B.B. Brooks. The B.B. Brooks Ranch is conveniently located in south-central Wyoming in Natrona County, near the historic town of Casper. The spirit of the American West can now be yours at B.B. Brooks Ranch. For the first time, this historic property is being offered in a stunning 40-acre parcels. Don't miss a chance to buy a Wyoming ranch for sale near Casper and stake your claim. Visit WyomingDreamland.com.
It's Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors.
And we are back. Cedar Ridge Outfitters, another successful hunting trip for myself and the other hunters that were in camp. And, you know, one of the things that I was a little bit worried about, and I know that other people in Area 48 that had licenses here, the fire, that the Red Canyon fire really was devastating to this area. And I know, Tony, there was a while at the beginning of the fire that you're like, I don't know that we're ever going to recover from this year.
You know, it opened your eyes. We came up and helped the ranch and ranchers all around here run dozers, bring water trucks, bring equipment, bring manpower, try and help them save structures, try and help them save grassland for their cattle. And this fire was impressive. I mean, it just, fire lines weren't even stopping it. The slurry tankers weren't even stopping it. I mean, this fire just ran, you know, and as it kept approaching and approaching, I kept going, oh man, my hunting season's over with. This is not going to be a good year. It's almost 2 months later. It is impressive what has happened with Mother Nature. We've got green grass that's 4 to 5 inches tall. We've got water that's fine, you know, trees still standing. We, you know, it didn't burn all of our brush up. It didn't burn all the cover up. It, you know, it burned 50%, I guess, of what we have for our elk area and our deer area. Our antelope areas are definitely gone. It definitely wiped out our lower units, and we did. We canceled our antelope hunters until the following year, but we watched this wildlife walk up and down the county roads just looking at us, just covered in black, and we're going, this isn't going to be good. This is, you know, this is the end of a season. How do I tell all my hunters that we have nothing? You know, we give it a couple weeks and watched, and I made the decision to cancel the antelope hunters, cancel our deer hunters, kept two deer hunters coming just because we could hunt them on the other parts of the ranch. We are loaded. I've never seen as many deer as we have this year. I've not seen as many antelope as we have. I mean, we just, there are hundreds of animals over here. The elk, we thought, they're not going to come back. They're not going to come back. They have flooded in here. And it's amazing. We've watched Kamisha, all Justin, other guides, people who, you know, other guides and cooks that have gone up on top. We've watched herds running to us. And we're just like, why are they running? And now they won't even go back the other direction they came. They just literally circle, and they're just camping in these areas that burn because there's so much green grass.
Well, one of the things Commission and I said the first day, we were out in the truck together, and it was like, oh my gosh, wow, this is so weird. This is so crazy. This, like last year when we were here, we drove through the area my dad got his elk, and it was so thick with sagebrush last year that, you know, you couldn't hardly get to the elk. And that same area is black and nothing there. And, you know, Commissioner, I know that you've been in this area your whole life. Like, this has kind of been right up your alley. So I know that this is probably kind of a shock to you, too.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy just seeing the huge change. It was just really hard, too, to watch the fire go through all of the ranches. And we thought we were in a safe place, and the fire line was right behind the Buster Hayes place. They laid slurry. We had dozer lines all over the place. Everyone's like, you guys are good. Go. We drove around, got to Shoshone, got a phone call. We need you back. You guys got to get back here. The fire jumped the fire line. And by the time we made it back, I watched the Buster Hayes barn burn down. And I was pretty emotional about it because the historical value of it can't be replaced. Just knowing that that got wiped out was really hard to watch. And yeah, you can build a new barn and stuff, but these original homesteads and stuff that started here over 100 years ago, people just don't understand the historical value. All of the families that have lived here and everyone that's helped be ranch hands, and that was really hard to watch, but it makes a huge change because it definitely makes you almost feel lost, like driving through the areas where you're going along and you can't even see a truck because the sagebrush is so high, mm-hmm. you know? And a lot of people are like, oh, that's a Texas thing. Well, it's not. It happens everywhere, but they just say it's like now you're walking on the moon and you take a step and poof, black powder everywhere.
And that's another thing where, like Tony said, where this isn't just a hunting area. This is livelihood. You know, it's the ranchers' lives. And I mean, this is a community. These ranchers around here, you know, maybe they don't want public people to come on their hunting lands, but they'll open the gate for their neighbors. So that goes to show like how important it was that many people showed up. And, you know, you guys who don't have, you know, a dog in the fight, really, you just, you know, are nice people that wanted to come up and help, and as other people did.
We watched numerous ranchers work together. I mean, graders came out, dozers came out, backhoes came out, skidsters came out, trucks with water tanks came out. I mean, we were literally buying whatever we could buy to put out. I mean, every rancher around here had spray tanks on their four-wheelers. We were running four-wheelers. I mean, it didn't matter. It was ranchers came together and fought this fire. It was hands down them who started the fighting of it and trying to put it out.
Goes to show you that Wyoming is really one big family. You know, everybody tries to help everybody out, and that's really where the hunting comes in. Is these hunters allow you to come here to give other people the experience that maybe they wouldn't have if maybe they don't have the physical abilities or they just don't have the abilities at all. You give them that opportunity, and that's kind of like with Terry and Carol this past weekend, where you know they're from a different part of the state and they'd never killed an elk or never been, you know, on a successful hunt. So you give them that opportunity.
Yep. You know, and their winter homes in Georgia, if I remember right, their summer homes in Jackson Hole. You know, they love the wild game and they wanted that experience and they're tired of trying to be DIY hunters and it's just not working for them. So we give them the opportunity. They've harvested 3 elk in less than a month. They've already booked for the 2026 season. And that's what helps us out, is being able to provide for them an incredible experience, a beautiful big lodge, all the land that we have. I can't say enough for the ranches that we have. I mean, they've just opened their doors and let us be able to take our clients in and do what we need to do.
You guys also not only help people that maybe don't have successful hunts, but, you know, veterans. That's a big thing you guys did this year, where you went and helped another outfit just because, you know, you need to get some stuff done and they needed a little help.
They did. Kamisha kind of set that all up. She knows the one couple that helps with that, you know, and we thought with the fire we needed to regroup. We weren't sure what was going to happen with our side. So they had reached out and asked if we could come help. We did go help them. We were successful. And
yeah. So, Commissioner, I know that, like Tony said, you had a big part of this. And a lot of, well, we talked about this earlier, the first hunt organization and all the ladies' hunts that you've gone on. Tell us a little bit about this organization that you were helping out.
Combat Warriors is who we went and helped out. And I just happened to have networking, and I met Justin Mayland, and him and his buddies do the Combat Warrior hunts, and they'd happen to be in Thermop, so I had gone there and helped them and hung out and did a little cooking. They were doing an antelope hunt and just kind of oriented them to the area a little better than what they knew and had availability to. So that was fun. And then it's been a few years since I've been able to help them do anything. And the opportunity just happened at the right time. And we had veterans that were just willing to go and learn, and they were super successful and happy. And you meet people and you build a community and family with them, and you just get more opportunities and just get to share your love of hunting and the outdoors with people. And
again, go to cedarridgehunting.com if you want to find out more, if maybe you want to find out about a deer hunt or an antelope hunt for next year, or just more information, get over there and check it out. And Tony, Commissioner, thank you guys. Thank you again for having me out for a good hunt and some good ribs last night and cold pizza today. It was pretty good.
You're welcome, buddy. We'll see you in a year.
It's Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors.
Rocky Mountain Discount Sports, the place to be to get ready for your big hunt. As we're into November now, which is absolutely crazy. And I know the second half of the big hunts are now opening up in some areas. And Brian, I went on my big hunt last weekend, and we talk a lot about being prepared and footwear. And I have found out that that is 100% correct.
You found out that you weren't quite as prepared as you hoped you were.
Wait, when it comes to boots, I thought I had a pair that was perfect. And then, man, you get up into those mountains, and you know the area we hunt is burned, so there's not a lot of vegetation left. And, man, sliding down there, and I mean, it's spooky sometimes.
Yeah, what you're wearing on flat ground can sometimes be a lot different than what you're doing on, you know, 45-degree angle, you know, shale hillsides and whatnot. So you know,
we've talked about this before where your neighbor, I think it was wearing his pack going up and down the stairs. That is a better workout than getting on a treadmill, because the treadmill, you're on a flat ground. You know, you can put that incline on there, but that still doesn't help you with that climbing.
Well, and it helps you understand your pack and how the weight distribution, you know, whether you've got a pack that, you know, you're be able to cinch it up around your hips and, you know, have your hips hold most of that weight, or you've got that weight, you know, just dragging off your shoulders. So it's good to, you know, I've even seen just a handful of guys in the neighborhood, you know, out walking their dogs in the evening, and they've got a pack, and I'm only assuming they threw a few bricks in there. Yeah. Or something to, you know, simulate, you know, hauling out an animal. So, you know, being prepared is definitely important. I mean, I too bought a new pair of boots this last week, and didn't have the right socks, and, you know, it was kind of rubbing me across the top of my calf. So we're gonna reevaluate that today.
You know, and it's the simple things like that that could really ruin a hunt. And you know, we talk so much about being, you know, prepared with the best socks you can get and the best boots you can buy. And you know, you buy a cheap pair of boots, you're gonna get cheap pair of boots kind of results out of that.
I think so. You know, I mean, I've had outside of my dog, you know, getting to him, I've had, you know, the same pair of boots for probably the last, you know, 5, 6, 7 years. And mm-hmm. It was a really sad day when you lose that really good pair of boots that, you know, you've had some, you know, longevity with, that feels so good. And like, you don't have to worry about re-breaking them in. So we're going to start that process again.
In some cases, your boots are closer to you than your wife. I mean, you're with them all the time. They're right there. They're supportive. Oh, man. So, and, you know, one of the kind of differences with my boots and your boot situation was you were hunting birds, so you weren't doing the mountain thing at this point, but that could have been pretty rough there. You know, you get those good walking boots, and lightweight really are probably the way to go.
Yeah, I mean, every situation is going to require a different type of boots. I mean, I was happy with the boots that I had because I was in a lot of wet grass and even you know, a couple inches of water at times, and they held up really good for that. So, but, you know, I don't necessarily need that tall support when I'm doing a lot of my just hiking, you know, especially if we don't have the weather. So I'm looking at a lower pair of more hiking boots that are going to give me still some good ankle stability. But you know, sometimes the lightweight ones, you know, they're more of a nylon, maybe not insulated. As we get into these later months, you know, we generally want something that's insulated. And a lot of times we're not hiking as much in November, December hunts as we, you know, were in September, October. So you still want something that's going to be probably a leather boot that's going to give you some good protection from the waterproofing, but also is just going to be comfortable enough to, you know, again, we talked about how heavy a boot can get. And, you know, when you're running a quality leather boot, I mean, they are going to probably be a little bit heavier than a nylon boot.
Yeah. And, you know, one of the things that we've kind of talked about a lot that is important, and you don't even realize how important the optics are until you get out on, you know, a herd of elk, or, you know, you're picking out that perfect deer, and boy, you got a cheap scope and it's not there. The scope we were using this weekend, he didn't even have to adjust it. It was just like, bam, we're right there.
Nice. Yeah, I was going through a bunch of my stuff for my upcoming hunt myself, and you know, I've got a couple different pairs of binoculars, which isn't that, you know, big of a deal there, but I've also got, you know, a real powerful 60x80 scope, a spotting scope, and then I've got a smaller one, which, you know, the smaller one's great for putting in the pack. And so I'm like, well, if we're driving, you know, I can use the 60x80, but you know, if I'm in the field, then, you know, I probably have that smaller one with me, and then how am I going to attach it? Like, you know, currently I've got it on a window mount. I'm like, well, I'm not going to need it on a window mount in a vehicle or in the field. So, you know, I'm like, okay, how am I going to, what tripod or what bipod am I going to put this on? How am I going to utilize it in the field to the best advantage as I can? So I was just kind of reworking all my gear over the weekend, and I think I'm ready.
You got her good to go.
Except for the boots that I got to get today.
Yeah. You know, when you start thinking about those options, you know, your hunt planning is kind of pretty important. You know, weight is a big concern. And some of the bigger binoculars you can get, maybe, you know, add a little weight to your pack, add a little more for you to carry. And then if you're going to carry meat out, it just a little bit more. When you're picking those binoculars that you're going to carry out with you, what's the perfect size for, you know, like to get out and just kind of spot around?
Our best selling binoculars are just 10x42s. So that's 10 power magnification with a 42 millimeter objective. You can also get 12x42s, 12x50s, 15x56s. There's some 18x56s. It really kind of just depends on the terrain you're going to be in, and you know, how you're going to be using them. If you don't want to carry a spotting scope and you're deer hunting and you're going to be sitting over a sagebrush field, you know, the highest power binoculars may be the best case scenario. But sometimes those high power binoculars are kind of hard on your eyes over time. So it's a personal preference on the mm-hmm. optics. You know, the one thing I will tell you is that you generally get what you pay for. You know, I mean, obviously, I think some of these manufacturers get a little bit of an uptick just because of the name and the what they have as a quality. Mm-hmm. But usually, you know, the quality of glass is you know, it prices all the way up, whether it's Vortex or Leopold or Burris or Swarovski. You know, if you're paying $3,000 for glass, you're probably getting the best glass that's out there on the market. You spend $249, doesn't matter whether it's, you know, Vortex or whatever, that glass quality is going to be pretty similar across the board.
So mine, I have the higher power Vortex. They're longer, they're bigger. And then the Tony we were with, he has the smaller 10x42s that has the rangefinder all in it. Mm-hmm. And that is another great option because that cuts down on the weight and the number of pieces of equipment. So, I mean, really coming in and kind of getting a look and not just grabbing one to grab one.
Yeah, range-finding binoculars are certainly, a value, I think. You know, like you said, you cut down on the number of pieces of equipment you have to use. Talked to a couple guys the other day, and they're like, yeah, we missed an opportunity on an animal. You know, our range-finder wasn't working, or, well, I guess we forgot to range it, you know. I mean, that type of thing. We thought it was at 150, and it was actually at 250, and, you know, this and that. With the range-finding binoculars, I mean, it's all right there. You almost always have a pair of binoculars hanging around your neck. Mm-hmm. And so not having to reach into another pocket for a rangefinder. And it's really a necessary tool, especially out west here where, you know, you could be shooting 100 yards or you could be shooting 600 yards. So knowing that distance is pretty critical. The biggest thing we see with rangefinders is that they get lost. And I think, you know, if you think that scenario, let's say you're sitting on a rock pile and all of a sudden, you know, you're waiting for these elk to come through and here comes the elk and you range the animal, you set your rangefinder down, you shoot the animal and you're like, heck yeah, we got it. And you run over toward the animal and the last thing you forgot was your rangefinder sitting on the rock.
Yeah.
That, you know, that you last used. And the next time you notice that you're missing it is next hunting season.
Right. And then you got to go either buy new ones or try to step your tracks. But, you know, we also came on a couple of instances where you're looking through your binoculars at your animal. And if you have to drop your binoculars to find your rangefinder, they may have moved, you know, down a hill or something, then you're not aware of that at that point. So having those right in there will keep your eyes on your
prize. And it's nice when you're hunting with a buddy or something, right? And they're you're, let's say you're shooting your bull, right? And you know you've got a herd of, even if it's only 10 or 12 bulls, you know, and you're looking through the scope, your partner's looking through the binoculars, and he's like, all right, second one to the left, you see that one there, it's got this and this, and then you can help each other out, and you're like helping identify which one it is that you want to shoot. And, you know, your partner ranges it, you're like, okay, you're at 250.
Yeah.
And then, you know, boom, that you know what to do. And you don't have to take your eye off that particular animal. There's a lot of times where guys are like, dang it, I shot the wrong one. That wasn't the one I wanted. So it is nice when you got that buddy system when you're tag teaming those.
Yeah, we ran into a situation, well, when I got mine, where he ranged and he had his eye on a different cow than what I had. And, I mean, it was like two or three over, but it was still, you know, pretty close. Right. But come on in, check them out here, Rocky Mountain Discount Sports, of course. Anything hunting, fishing, if it's bird hunting or if it's elk hunting, they've got it for you here. Come on by and see them and follow them on Facebook at Rocky Mountain Discount Sports Casper.
When looking for places to live in Wyoming, you'd be hard-pressed to find another ranch that offers as much as B.B. Brooks. The B.B. Brooks Ranch is conveniently located in south-central Wyoming in Natrona County, near the historic town of Casper. The spirit of the American West can now be yours at B.B. Brooks Ranch. For the first time, this historic property is being offered in a stunning 40-acre parcels. Don't miss a chance to buy a Wyoming ranch for sale near Casper and stake your claim. Visit WyomingDreamland.com.
Hunting season is in full swing, and now is the time to get stocked up at Rocky Mountain Discount Sports. With Casper's largest selection of guns and ammo, it's easy to be prepared. Don't forget the game bags, backpacks, culls, and camouflage. Rocky Mountain Discount Sports carries products from all the top manufacturers, such as Vortex, Leopold, Badlands, Hornady, Primos, and more. Rocky Mountain Discount Sports, CY Avenue in Casper. Thanks for shopping Wyoming first at your Wyoming-owned and operated Rocky Mountain Discount Sports.
It's Wyoming hooking and hunting outdoors.
Well, Janet, it happened. Elk number 3 is under my belt. Another elk this year.
Congratulations, Drew. And I've been hearing the stories, and it sounds like it was an amazing hunt in Area 48.
Yeah, and Brian Olson is also with us. And, you know, before I went on my first hunt, I was getting a lot of the good info that I needed from you and Brian. And that was, gosh, 3 years ago. So it's hard to think back that far that we've been doing this for that long.
Well, you're just a seasoned vet now. Like you don't need our advice anymore. You've got this down, and it sounds like you know how to do an amazing elk hunt.
Well, Janet,
did you kill 3 elk? Did you say you just killed 3 elk on Saturday?
I have. Yeah. They told me I wasn't supposed to shoot a bull, but I don't know what happened. It grew horns all of a sudden.
Yeah, we probably have somebody that we need to probably send over your way to Have a little longer discussion, maybe, Drew. Yeah. That's what we do. Yeah.
I was looking for a check station just so I could have proof that it was legit.
Sure. Yeah.
Sure enough,
that's what everybody says. That's not why you went over the mountain to Buffalo and came in that way so you could skip out and not go through the check station.
Yeah. I called Brandon earlier and be like, hey, what are you guys set up today? Just to want to make sure.
Yep. I know. That's exactly how it always
goes. Or you came through like at midnight.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Well, that is what happened. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I knew there was a way that you got through that without getting checked. So yeah. Otherwise, we would have known about a lot sooner if we would have, if you went through that check station like most hunters are required to do.
Right. So, yeah. And it's funny because that was the first thing I thought when I shot it was, all right, I got to make sure I have all of my stuff filled out properly. I've got everything strapped on there and so that I'm legit if I have to go through one of the check stations. And then,
yeah, I'm not buying that, Drew. You were just doing a little dance, happy to have the amazing elk hunt experience, and you, like everybody else, probably forgot to do what you were supposed to.
Absolutely. Yeah, congratulations. Congratulations. Happy for you.
Thank you. Thank you. I was cussing under my breath because I'm like, how are we going to get this out of here now? Because it's,
that's the challenge, right? Is getting it out and the hike out and getting it to a place where you can access it safely with the vehicle and all of those things. It's a lot of work. That's the thing, is that once you pull the trigger, that's when the work begins.
That's right. Fun's over.
Fun is over and work begins.
You know, one of the fun parts about it is because we've been doing this show for so long and talked about these things to make sure that everybody knows what to do. My mind automatically went through every process, every step I needed to do. And hopefully that's what other people are getting out of this show other than just hearing us ramble. You know, I know you listen to something, what is it, like 7 times or something, and you're kind of on a routine at that point.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, you and I tend to say the exact same thing every single Sunday morning. So it's nice that maybe, like, you know, it's making a difference with that checklist in someone's head. So I'm glad to hear that it's working for you, and do hope that it's working for others, and have actually heard from several folks that do appreciate that you're doing this, Drew, and that checklist in the brain might be working.
So what was the most difficult part of the successful hunt this year that was different than the other hunts that you had, Drew?
You know, coverage, really, because in the area where I was hunting in Area 48 is where the Red Canyon fire was, and the sagebrush is gone. I mean, there's places where we were able to drive the truck through and sneak up closer. They weren't there anymore. And so it was literally, we could find where they were, but it's, you know, the approach and getting a good shot without being busted.
Might be a tough year for some upland game bird hunting, it sounds like, with no cover.
Yeah.
Like I say, it'll come back and will be awesome, especially elk, you know, elk like grass. So I'm sure it'll be beneficial over the long run. That's one of those things that a lot of people see the black, but over long term, it's going to be a good thing in the long run.
Listen to his green up story. Tell him what you were seeing there, Drew.
Oh, yeah. Well, and Brian, you had mentioned this when the fire was going on, that if we had the right weather conditions, if it rained and got warm and then got some snow and then warmed up a little bit, there was 3 inches of flush green grass all over the areas there. So, I mean, it was nice. And Janet, speaking of upland bird, like, they were clusters where we were running into all kinds of flocks of birds. So things are looking good in that area, even though they look ugly.
Good. Glad to hear it, and hope that it continues.
And news.
Really just want to say congratulations, Drew, on an amazing hunt. And we hope that everybody else out there in Wyoming is having the same success as you.
Well, I appreciate that, Janet and Brian. We will be back next week. Another great show. And again, if you're heading out hunting, good luck to you.
Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors with Drew Kirby. If you have a question, want to make a comment, or have an idea for a show topic, message us on the My Country mobile app. Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors.